This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. We got lots to talk about, lots of stories that I've gathered from news sources and from medical journals. So we're going to get right into it. 877-726-8255 is our number. And among the stories we're going to tackle this hour, in a moment we're going to talk about medical education, about nutrition, which is lacking. Duh. Also, when it comes to exercise, walking is good, but quality may be more important than quantity. Everybody's trying to do 10,000 steps. Is that the right way to go? Wikipedia is your trusted source for information about, any number of things. But when it comes to natural medicine, is it a reliable place to go? We'll examine that proposition. Also, I'm just wild about saffron coming up this hour. 877-726-8255 if you want to get in on the conversation. All right, this is a big duh story, but and you may say, well, I've heard this before, but yet another study is showing that medical students around the world are poorly trained in nutrition. And why that matters is because a poor diet now outranks smoking as the leading preventable cause of death globally and in the United States. But a recent systematic review of studies suggests that medical students in countries around the world haven't been getting the education they need to counsel patients on healthy eating. Improved diets could prevent more than 1 in 5 deaths worldwide every year. I personally think that's an underestimate. And physicians are ideally positioned. Why? Because, well, you go to the doctor and you're sick. It's a teachable moment. And doctors are missing the boat when they don't provide patients with dietary advice or referrals to nutrition professionals. But studies suggest that they lack the necessary training. So they did yet another analysis, proving once again that recently graduated or current medical students' nutrition knowledge, attitude, skills, or confidence in nutrition or nutritional counseling is lacking. And they have underappreciation of the importance of nutrition education, and that medical school nutrition curriculum is woefully lacking. They say around the world, medical students often don't get adequate nutrition training. The lack of nutrition education affects their knowledge and skills and their confidence to provide nutrition care and routine clinical practice. I mean, sometimes you will ask your doctor a nutrition question, and they'll draw a blank. They'll say, well, you know, that, and they may have the most incredible knowledge about surgery, high-tech methods of curing diseases, encyclopedic knowledge about drugs. But when it comes to nutrition, they don't know. Maybe you who listen to this program, you probably know more than they do. Have you ever had that experience? I came away from the doctor realizing that they don't know much about nutrition. According to the review's lead author, Jennifer Crowley, PhD, the University of Auckland in New Zealand, it's often up to individual medical schools to decide whether they'll integrate nutrition education into the curriculum. And they have such a demand on students. I mean, you only got those students for 4 years. And you got to cram a lot of facts into their brains to prepare them to become doctors. And a lot of it is about the testing, because the testing and certification of knowledge for doctors, it's in three phases. You take one test in med school, then you take one test, I think, if I remember correctly, I don't know if it's still the same thing, and during your first year postgraduate while you're an intern, and then at the end you take yet another test to establish your competency as a doctor. There's virtually no questions about nutrition. So, you know, that expression, you teach to the test. And if you don't want your students to fail, you have a responsibility to prep them for the exam. So they say one nutrition education curriculum initiative stood out as a potential model for success. It's hands-on cooking and nutrition education. That was in the medical school. Improve students' competencies for counseling patients on nutrition. And also improve their health because it reduced their consumption of junk food. Medical schools are actually factories for bad nutrition because students just don't have time and often they subsist on junk food. I took a different course actually during med school. I taught nutrition classes as part of an adult education program. And I taught both affluent patients who could pay, and I got money that way. That was one of my jobs, teaching adults as part of a program for upscale Manhattanites to learn about nutrition. That was in the 1980s. And then I also spent some time in underserved areas, you know, teaching people how to make the most of their food stamp premiums and source inexpensive ingredients to make healthy, nutritious meals. So I deliberately sought out nutrition. I had to go to like four different places because in med school, we had about 2 days on nutrition. Literally, we had two lectures. And then I said, you know, during my fourth year, they give you elective time. So I got to go around to different places where nutrition was being taught. I went to Memorial Sloan Kettering, where they were doing a lot of research on cancer nutrition. I went to St. Luke's Hospital, where they were doing a lot of obesity research. And I read a lot on my own. And I also went to acupuncture school, studied traditional Chinese medicine, where there's a nutrition component. But I got some flexibility, as most medical students do during their fourth year, to pursue their own customized program of study. But I had to go hither and thither and yon, because my med school did not offer that much in that regard. But here's the problem. I could see right away there's a problem. Because, okay, let's say they establish a curriculum in nutrition. Whose idea of good nutrition would they be teaching you about the food pyramid that emphasizes skim milk and taking the skin off chicken and avoiding red meat and minimizing your consumption of butter and basically a fat-phobic nutrition paradigm that often leads people to consume too much in the way of starchy carbohydrates? Or would it be vegan-oriented, or would it be a really a survey of all the plausible nutritional strategies, including popular low-carb diets, diets like the Atkins diet, the ketogenic diet, the paleo diet? Maybe what they should do if they were to teach nutrition in med school, and I volunteer, I'd be happy to design the curriculum, but nobody's asking me. Maybe it would be a little bit like when I studied comparative religion in college. I took one of my favorite courses in college was comparative religion. They weren't pushing any one agenda. They looked at all the world's major religions, and we studied them intensely, but the object wasn't to proselytize us. It was to give us a survey of all the world's religious beliefs, and it was fascinating. And, you know, unfortunately, three areas, very subject to controversy: politics, religion, and diet. You know, if you want to start an argument at a party, just get into one of those areas. And, you know, when I was at my high school reunion, you know, we had a lot of conversations. I said, three things. Let's establish the ground rules. Let's not talk about politics, religion, or diet, because we're going to get into fights. And I love all you guys that I went to high school with 50 years ago. So let's stay friends. Big lack, big problem. And since a poor diet now outranks smoking as the leading cause of death globally, don't you think doctors should have just a little more knowledge about the very, very important tool that we use to safeguard health and reverse disease, which is nutrition? I think it's high time. 877-726-8255 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Everyone's raving about the newest botanical superstar hitting the store shelves nationwide. Hemp-derived cannabidiol, or CBD, has been receiving a lot of attention for its tremendous promise on human health. Plus, CBD oil by CV Sciences is the trusted brand setting the standards in this newly emerging category of plant-based extracts, offering a variety of hemp-derived CBD oil products that you can count on. In order to make the highest quality CBD oil products available, it is important to manage every step of the supply chain process, from seed to shelf. That's why, from harvesting our EU-certified hemp seeds, to laboratory testing for quality and safety, to producing our exceptional line of products, we are committed to going the extra mile. It is our commitment to you. Join the CBD evolution. Ask your local natural health retailer about Plus CBD oil products by CV Sciences today. Follow us on Facebook and learn more at pluscbdoil.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider a part of their daily health routine. I've received countless questions from my audience asking for a specific recommendation, so I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle, the same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. and check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit, a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immune protocols, and much more. Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number, and it's an opportunity for you to call in this hour. You can call us live, or, hey, you know, people can record calls, and we'll take one of those recorded calls right now. Let's have it.
Hello, Dr. Hoffman. This is Christy in Georgia, and I've enjoyed listening to your program for years. I wanted to ask your opinion about a particularly troubling account that I read in Dr. Michael Greger's book, How Not to Die. He indicated that studies have proven that E. coli, C. difficile, and other dangerous bacteria contaminate most of our meat supply, and even cooking it thoroughly doesn't necessarily kill the bacteria. It kind of makes me scared to eat meat at all. Dr. Greger also suggests that some meat is contaminated because the contents of the animal's intestines gets mixed in with the meat during the slaughtering process. Would organic meat supplies or farms also have these issues? Any suggestions are welcome. Thank you.
Okay, well, that is a really great question, and I'm familiar with the book that you're talking about. Great title, How Not to Die. You know, who can quarrel with that? I mean, it's a prescription for life. And, you know, to give you a little perspective, Dr. Michael Greger is a guy who, I don't think he's an MD. But, you know, that doesn't matter because a lot of valid information comes from, you know, erudite people who don't have, you know, those two letters after their name. And especially when you look at the woeful lack of nutrition knowledge that most doctors have. So that doesn't discredit him. But what Dr. Greger does is he cherry picks his evidence to skew in favor of a vegan or vegetarian diet. I mean, his cards are on the table. He's a proponent of vegetarianism. So he wants to make it really sound yucky to eat meat, which people have eaten since time immemorial. Humans evolved on meat even before we developed sterilization processes and, you know, high-tech methods of purifying and cleaning our agricultural products. And we survived. You know, evolution allowed us to survive. The contention that these bacteria survive the cooking process, yeah, that's a little iffy because, you know, it's pretty good scientific evidence that if you cook meat, you're going to kill the bacteria. And that's how you basically sterilize medical instruments. You autoclave them at high temperatures. And high temperature cooking, you know, unless you're going to eat steak tartare, is likely to, break down the harmful pathogens that might be present in the meat. Now, it is true that because of our current agricultural practices where we feed animals lots and lots of antibiotics, they can harbor antibiotic resistant organisms, which are really dangerous. But the problem is not so much the organisms, it's the antibiotics themselves that may not be degraded by cooking. So what happens is if you get a conventional chicken, recently there was a big study on this, a lot of the fast food eateries, popular places like Burger King and so on, they don't use antibiotic-free poultry. There are moves afoot among, you know, some of the more progressive ones to get away from the use of antibiotics in poultry. Chick-fil-A is actually kind of taking the lead in antibiotic-free poultry. I'm not saying that, you know, by every standard, their chicken is of the highest quality because it's not necessarily, pasture-fed chicken. It's still mass-produced, but at the very least, it doesn't have a lot of antibiotic residues. Those antibiotic residues get into your GI tract, and they may suppress the beneficial bacteria in your gut. So the other thing, you know, with the animal feces, you know, that sounds kind of yucky. But just keep in mind that plants, too, have bacteria. And so they also have lots of herbicides and pesticides sprayed on them. And that's why it's preferable to use organic produce. Using organic meat, you know, I'm not sure if that's necessarily a consideration when it comes to the bacterial content. It's less likely you'll get antibiotic-resistant bacteria in organic meat, but isn't necessarily cleaner. It may also be free of those antibiotic residues that we're concerned with. But, Gregor is going to beat the drum for a vegetarian diet and use whatever evidence he can cull to kind of gross you out and make you not want to eat any meat. But he isn't right. He's got an agenda. He's coming from an ideological standpoint. He's made up his mind, and he's not looking at the evidence in an objective fashion. The book is a polemic for vegetarianism. And if you like that, fine, you'll resonate with it. If not, you'll find it riven with inaccuracies and exaggerations. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, postnasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And here's a little bit of a baby boomer reference. Remember Donovan's song, I'm Just Wild About Saffron? They Call Me Mellow Yellow. You know, that whole 1967-ish lyric. Didn't really know what that was about then, but roughly 50-plus years later, turns out there's a reason to be wild about saffron. Headline, Saffron Effectively Complements Antidepressant Medications. So there was a reason that back in the 60s, Donovan, the singer, was real happy about saffron. New research has shown that saffron may assist adults with depression when it is taken in conjunction with pharmaceutical antidepressants. So they're not saying that in and of itself it is a complete antidepressant. There's just sort of an add-on effect when it is combined with pharmaceutical antidepressants. The research was done at Major University. They say saffron can be used at the outset in conjunction with antidepressants, or it can be added to antidepressants if symptoms do not fully resolve. So of interest, and I looked this up, and I said, well, what is it about saffron that might make it helpful for depression? And it turns out that saffron is neuroprotective. The headline on this story is Neuroprotective Properties of Dietary Saffron, More Than Just a Chemical Scavenger. They say there's growing evidence that consumption of saffron, a spice derived from the flower of the crocus plant, has therapeutic effects. It's a strong antioxidant, and it may protect the brain. Saffron has been used as a neuroprotective intervention, and it's suggested as an adjunct to the treatment of Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. The problem with saffron, last time I checked, pretty darn expensive, right? You know, you get like this little container of saffron. It's like $20. But saffron can be incorporated in various combination supplements that contain things like ginkgo biloba and other cognitive enhancers. Bacopa is among them. And could be part of a orchestrated program of supplementation that can fend off brain problems, including depression, which we now realize is amenable to things like curcumin. Curcumin, a premier anti-inflammatory, also proposed as a treatment for Alzheimer's disease and dementia, but also has shown efficacy in depression. So pretty cool stuff. Here's something that has been shown to have efficacy for fatigue. Who out there hasn't suffered from fatigue to some degree or another? Let me tell you about the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age or illness or just being run down. It's NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. You heard me talk about it here on Intelligent Medicine. It repairs damaged mitochondria, and clinical trials have shown that NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half. NT Factor is available in ProPacks. It's a one-stop shop for all your vitamin mineral needs. But let's say you want to keep your favorite multi and or fish oil and other supplements, but you'd still want to just harness the power of NT Factor. And now there's a product called Healthy Aging, which is the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking. And it provides you with a unique energy support of pure NT Factor and a potent delivery system. I've been taking NT Factor for years. I don't go a day without it. Now with a 45-day money-back guarantee, you can get it with nothing to lose. Please note that even though they're no longer shipping to Vitamin Shop, you can still find ProPacks and Healthy Aging at your favorite health food store or online retailer or to order direct. Write this number down, 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go directly to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. So, this item looks at, you know, a lot of countries are walking because some people say that even if you walk a little bit, it's good. It's good to just, you know, no matter what shape you're in, just a little walking is going to make a big difference. And in fact, interesting study they just did about the economic value of walking just an extra 15 minutes each day for the worldwide economy. $100 billion of economic boosting could be achieved internationally if everybody walked or jogged for an extra 15 minutes each day. So I don't know how they calculate these things, but, you know, there are people who specialize in doing these kinds of studies. But they say that translated across the world's population, 30% could be attributed to reduced mortality and reduced sickness and absences, while 70% were linked to reduced presenteeism. Presenteeism means, interesting term, it means when you show up when you're sick. How many times have you dragged yourself to work and you just don't want to miss a day because you're like saving up for the vacation time and personal days. And so you're sick. So you might as well just go to the office. I mean, if you're sick, right? Not wasted days, stay home. But presenteeism means that you expose everybody in the office to your pathogens and you make everybody else sick. So they actually say that that goes into the calculation. But just 15 minutes of walking, that's no big whoop. A lot of people target 10,000 steps as a foundation for a healthy lifestyle. And a lot of people are using those devices, pedometers, now smartphones record your steps. That's kind of cool. You know, you do a lot of walking, you go home and, oh, wow, I did like 14,000 steps. That's cool. I achieved my goal. Well, quality may trump quantity when it comes to walking, according to a new study. Interval walking training improves fitness and health in elderly individuals. What is it? Interval walking training is the method of walking at 70% of the walker's maximum capacity for 3 minutes, then at 40% of their capacity for the next 3 minutes, and you continue that for five or more sets. It's a little like HIIT, high-intensity interval training, but high-intensity interval training really means high intensity, so you're going to be doing that you know, on a treadmill, or you're going to be doing it on a stationary bicycle or on a track, you know, run until you're really out of breath and then, you know, jogging a little bit. Then, and or in a spin class, that's what they do often is, you know, they say, go, you know, you're climbing and go all out for a minute or two. And then you rest, but you don't stop. You just, you know, slow your heart rate down. And if you've got a heart rate monitor, you can see that your heart rate is recovering. They studied a group of 679 participants with a median age of 65 over 5 months. And what they found is that this interval training was better than what's called continuous training. So obviously interval training challenges your ability to absorb and utilize oxygen, increases your lung capacity. This results in a 14% increase in what's called VO2 max, which is your ability to utilize oxygen, which is a measure of aerobic fitness. And it yields a 17% decrease in lifestyle-related diseases. So, you know, there you have it. Research demonstrates that quality of your exercise, even if it's walking, trumps quantity. So, you know, you're just going to do gradual 10,000 steps. Great. So much the better. But if you want to take it up a notch, speed up, slow down, speed up, slow down. That's even better. All right, this item has to do with Wikipedia. And a lot of people, you know, I go to Wikipedia when I look stuff up. I see like the, you know, like I'm reading a historical novel now, and I see the name of, a medieval king or queen, and I want to know more about them. So I look them up on Wikipedia, and the articles are pretty reliable. They're, you know, extensive and detailed and referenced. So, you know, it's a knowledge source. Wikipedia is pretty cool when it comes to looking up that kind of stuff. But let's say you want to know something about natural medicine. So you look it up on Wikipedia. And I'll give you an example of something that is posted on Wikipedia. If you look up the term naturopathy, naturopathic medicine is a branch of medicine where people go to accredited colleges. The admission requirements are rigorous. You have to have, you know, chemistry and biology, and it's almost like getting to med school these days because it's competitive, and the kids are smart. They've just chosen a different path, and they've chosen it because maybe they're idealistic and maybe they want to learn more about nutrition and natural therapies than they would in med school. Faced with a choice now that the colleges are great, really well developed, I might have chosen to go to a naturopathic school instead of a conventional medical school. But if you look up naturopathy in Wikipedia, here's what you get. Naturopathy or naturopathic medicine is a form of alternative medicine that employs an array of pseudoscientific practices branded as natural in quotes. You know, the Dr. Evil quotes, natural and non-invasive, that's in quotation marks, or promoting quotation mark self-healing. The ideology and methods of naturopathy are based on vitalism and folk medicine rather than evidence-based medicine. Naturopathic practitioners generally recommend against following modern medical practices, including but not limited to medical testing, drugs, vaccinations, and surgery. That is so wrong, because the gifted naturopathic practitioners, a lot of NDs that are my colleagues, I go listen to their lectures, they're erudite, they're well-trained, they see patients and they know when to fold with natural therapies. They're very, very aware that conventional medicine has an important role to play in managing conditions that are not amenable to natural therapies. They're not idiots. They're not eccentrics. Instead, naturopathic practice relies on unscientific notions, often leading naturopaths to diagnoses and treatments that have no factual merit. Naturopathy is considered by the medical profession to be ineffective and possibly harmful. Not by yours truly, but that's what the Wikipedia article says, raising ethical issues about its practice. In addition to accusations from the medical community, such as the American Cancer Society, naturopaths have repeatedly been accused of being charlatans and practicing quackery. In some countries, it is a criminal offense for naturopaths to label themselves as medical professionals. That's what you get in Wikipedia. And what it suggests is that Wikipedia has been, I mean, it has been dominated and infiltrated by skeptics and quackbusters. When it comes to articles like this, I don't know how they got in there, but it is their perspective that is shared with millions and millions of inquisitive members of the public when they rely on Wikipedia for an opinion about natural medicine. It's a deplorable state of affairs, but you know, you read about stuff on Wikipedia, please take it with a huge grain of salt, because it is not unbiased, objective reporting. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating the certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available online as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. This story came across the wires just this week, and it was published in the New York Times. We're aware of some of the downsides of taking statins, namely that statins can cause muscle pain, they can cause liver damage. In some patients, they cause fatigue, exercise intolerance. It's well documented that they can cause hikes in blood sugar leading to diabetes. That's clearly established, particularly in women. It seems to be that women are more susceptible to that when they take statin drugs to lower cholesterol. Now, according to Nicholas Bacalar, reporting the Times, statins tied to risk of staphylococcal skin infections. So the question is, well, is it because they raise blood sugar? Okay, makes sense because bacteria love sugar. And if the statins increase your blood sugar, then that would make your skin a more hospitable place for bacteria to grow, right? Well, it turns out that there's a different mechanism. The drugs Lipitor and Zocor had the strongest associations with skin infections. There was a difference among the different statins. The risk was greatest in the 3 months after starting the medications. It was not dependent on whether people developed elevated blood sugar, however. And it suggests that there's still some little understood mechanism of statins that somehow paralyzes the skin's defense against pathogens like staph. So, you know, this is the way of all drugs. Drugs may be targeted towards blood pressure, but they may have effects on other things, on blood clotting, for example, that are unforeseen effects because they have off-target effects. And so too, when it comes to statins. And here's, when it comes to drugs and skin problems, another popular category of heart medication, beta blockers. Lots of people taking beta blockers these days for blood pressure, if you've had a heart attack, if you have atrial fibrillation, very likely that you may be taking a beta blocker. This story, why beta blockers cause skin inflammation. It has long been known that beta blockers can cause severe skin inflammation. I didn't know that yet. This is a revelation to me. However, the cause of this phenomenon was largely unknown. So what they say here, and they go through this complicated explanation about how beta blockers affect cellular cleanup. This is called autophagy. And beta blockers seem to interfere with this process. They say that when a beta blocker molecule finds its way through the cell membrane into the lysosome, which is kind of like the garbage dump of the cell, it causes more and more beta blocker to accumulate in the lysosome. And this process apparently disrupts autophagy, which is the normal process by which cells die. And when cells accumulate in a rampant way, then you get conditions like psoriasis. So, yeah, interesting. You know, you learn something every day, and I hope you do as well when you listen to this program. If you want to learn even more, check out drhoffman.com and subscribe to our newsletter, download our podcasts, follow us on social media, we're on Facebook and Twitter, and become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine. Help yourself, help your family, stay healthy, enjoy your weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.